Snow Patrol and Run on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais. With me is Stephen Merchant and Carl Pilkins. Yeah. That's three for one. I don't know. All right?
Exciting. Exciting.
News. Breaking news is that there's only two more weeks of us before we have to go away on a little extended break again. So, can't give any more details yet. We don't know when we can come back because, we don't know. What we're doing, we're going to, America. We're doing the Golden Globes and then we're going to watch the Office pilot being filmed.
Yes.
And then we've got bits, I'm doing a bit of a tour. So it'll be sort of the summer times, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm saying it like they care.
Oh, they don't give a damn.
Do you know what I mean? I sometimes think that because, you think, oh, you don't want to let down the people, you want to keep it consistent, you want to give, you know, but really, I know I like doing this more than anyone listening.
Definitely.
Do you know what
definitely,
I mean?
Definitely.
I love coming in, I love squeezing Carl's head.
Yeah.
I love playing some records. You know, I like sort of sitting in the room with you. I know you love it.
Oh.
I can't wait.
I can't think of anything else I'd rather be doing on a Saturday.
Yeah. So, we got our Saturdays back though.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I mean, my alarm went off today and I was a bit tired because we had a couple of drinks last night, didn't we?
Last night, yeah.
Yeah, we had, you know, party, we're party animals. Yeah. Oh, I've been looking for an office this week, as you know. And it's so stressful. Just walking around, just talking to agents and, right, okay. So, my method is this, right? I walk around the area that I want to be an office in, because I don't want to hear anything else. I don't want to, you know what I mean? So I walk around, to be fair, it is about a square 500 yards.
Yeah.
Right?
It's sort of- Your house is in the centre.
Yeah. And, so I walk around and look at placards. I go, that's a nice office, and I phone them up. There's loads of different people I'm dealing with, right? And they went, oh, we got one in so-and-so street. I think it was 5th Street or something. I went, oh yeah, I went along to, I'll see you there in 20 minutes. I got there. You were there, if you remember. I looked around and I said to Steve, it looks alright. There's no pawn shops or anything like that, right? And Steve went, well, it is next to a brothel. And I looked and there on the next thing, like, you know, model, first floor, Susie, 03, and I phoned him and I said, do you know what? Don't bother coming here. No, I said, no, I said, because it's next to a brothel. He went, yeah. I went, right, okay. Just for future reference, I don't want an office literally next to a brothel, right? When I go to work, I don't want to walk past prostitutes. Call me old-fashioned.
Yeah,
right?
As you go into work, there's a prostitute. Yeah. Morning.
Oh, she's got a cappuccino. Yeah, Starbucks, yeah. business good? Yeah, it's a bit slow at the moment. It picks up later this evening, does it really? Good. Yeah. And I said to him, I've got so... So my New Year's resolution is being like a little fascist when it comes to business. And I said, also future reference, no crack dens and no wild animals in the porch. And, I just can't believe that there's always something wrong. We went to one, right, it got there, right, and, a woman said, oh, I'm nowhere. She didn't know what keys she was using. And she went, it's the third floor. And she went, there's no point, we won't both get in the lift. I went, right, will you get a desk in the lift? Right, she went, I've got a chair in the lift before. Brilliant. So, yeah. Just find me an office, Rathbone Place, sort of Percy Street, Charlotte Street, Dean Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. First or second
floor. I'm worried we're going to get emails from estate agents, phone calls from them. You know what those people are like.
But I don't look at the emails.
True. Fair enough.
So, play a record. Enough. Sexist.
Joe Jackson, Difference for Girls.
Well, he's not in the charts anymore.
I can't believe it.
Unbelievable. You were talking about renting an office. I'm a little bit intimidated because I'm just at the moment thinking about trying to buy a flat or something because I'm just tired of pissing money down the drain.
I know. Yeah.
And, but I'm really petrified. I've put it off and put it off because I'm really gullible. I'm just, when I'm confronted with anyone in a suit who sort of knows what they're talking about, they can sell me anything, I'm intimidated, it's like, you know, you're supposed to go in there, you're supposed to sort of act like you're the guy with the money, you're the, this is what I want, this is what I want, no. But I go in there and it's like I'm afraid they're gonna say, clear off, I don't wanna sell you your house, I'm not
really
interested.
Have you ever thought of like, really putting on sort of like some sort of cool air? Like, sort of like kicking the door and going, what was that? Is it like, you'd be found out in 30 seconds,
yeah,
wouldn't you?
Exactly.
You'd go in there, you'd stub your toe, and they go, what are you kicking? I can't put my toe, off my toe.
Exactly, yeah.
Brilliant.
Just tapping the walls.
Yeah, tapping the wall. What's the rates on? What rates? I don't know.
Well, this is, do you remember, I don't know if I told you before, I went, I wanted to buy a laptop computer, yeah, and everyone said, go up Tottenham Court Road, and I was reading, like, magazines and stuff, they were saying, haggle, make sure you haggle, make sure you got, you're planning to haggle, get the best deal you can, and I found a shop which was selling the computer I wanted, and I went in there, and I had this whole plan in my mind of what was going to happen. He was going to say, like, it's worth this, I'm going to go, yeah, well, look, I can get it cheaper here, I want to buy it from you, I'm going to haggle, da-da, and off I went. So I went in the shop, and I said, yeah, looking for this, interested in this Toshiba. How much is it? He went, oh, it's 1500 quid. I went, sure, sure. Okay. I said, I'll give you 1300. He went, it's 1500. And I said, sure, but I'm willing to give you 1300. He went, 1500. And I was done already because he hadn't even begun to haggle. Well, I was assuming he'd at least go 1400 and we could start, but nothing. So now I was screwed. My whole plan went out the window.
Yeah. Well, you just leave.
No, I said to him, I said, the thing is, I can get this computer cheaper down the road, but, you know, I like what you're providing me. I like your service. I've heard good stuff about you. It was amazing. I said, I've heard good stuff about you. And he went, I said, seriously, I can walk down the street. I can buy it there for cheap, for like 1400. And he went, well, see you later then. And I was like, right. So I walked out the place. I said, well, I'm gonna have to leave then. And I walked out the place, and because I wanted to get it from there, because it was still the cheapest, so I had to walk back in again. I went, yeah. I've just had some second thoughts. Listen, I'll tell you what, I'll pay the 1500, can I get a free carry case? He went, the carry case is free anyway. I said, I'll take it.
Carry case is free.
I got nothing.
No, but how much would you charge for that if it was on sale? Carry case, a tenner. Well, let's just say it is a tenner. Give it to me for free. And he went, no, it's a tenner. And he went, well, you said it was free a minute.
Yeah. It's just pathetic.
That is lovely.
It's having to walk out making a big statement and then come back in again.
Oh, dear.
So I'm really scared. I feel like I need someone to come with me and do all the talking. You know what they're talking about. Because I'm not going to be able to tell if there's subsidence or if there's damp or...
No, but you don't do that.
Don't I? Is that not my responsibility?
No, you get a survey done.
Sure.
And they charge for that, and then the... Yeah, you don't have to go around doing it yourself.
Right. Could I make a saving if I did it myself?
Yeah, this should be alright. Yeah. There's a hole in the wall, Steve.
Yeah,
but what's a hole in the wall?
Put some newspaper
in
that.
Chaucer's day, that was the toilet. That'd be fine. Carl, you're a second time buyer, aren't you? But
yeah. Bought one in Manchester. Lost £7,000 on that one.
Well, don't buy in Manchester.
No, it's a good flat, it's just it wasn't, I didn't buy it to sort of make money, I thought I was going to be living there like all my life. And then a job came up there, and it was like, oh.
You bought your first flat in Manchester, you assumed you would be living there for the rest of your life.
Well, I wasn't in a rush.
Play record, you're an idiot.
Hang on a minute, so have you got a property portfolio? Have you got the two houses, Nate?
No, I've got rid of that one.
Oh, you sold that one?
Got this flat.
£7,000
lost. Got this flat. I'll tell you something that is interesting.
Hold on, though.
What?
£7,000 lost. It was a flat in Manchester, but it could only cost about £8,000 anyway.
Right, Steve, something they do now, right, they've got to do by law when you're buying, right? I was looking at one in London, right? It's haunted. They've got to tell you now.
Right, don't talk shit.
I'm telling you
play
now.
A record.
I'm telling you now.
Yeah. There's no such thing as ghosts. That is ridiculous if that appears on a legal document.
Right,
that
if there's anyone who sells flats and that, does that for a living.
Yeah.
Right, email in. Because
yeah.
I'm telling you now, that is a fact. She sort of dropped it in. She said, I said, oh, you know, nice feel there. And she said, yeah, well, that'll be the ghost. Just dropped it in, that's all they've got to do. And then I was like, what? And I went, oh, yeah.
That's all I've got to do, is it? So that's the legal thing. Did you drop it in? So in court, you go, did you drop it in? Yeah, I dropped it in. Play a record, you're an idiot.
This year's love, if you're in love. I hope it lasts. It's only January.
What you got for us,
I just thought we ought to maybe go through some of the emails. I mean, I don't want to query the calibre of some of the emails we get sent on this show, but, here's a typical one, Rick.
Go on.
There's no name, it's just from Glicko, that's his email address. That's just a question to you, Rick. Did I see you walking around Marylebone High Street last Sunday?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I mean,
I was in Marylebone High Street last Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, but did you see Glicko?
I didn't see Glicks. Okay. I didn't see the Glickster,
Alright, this is one from M. Ricky, what do you think of Richard Bacon's show? I can't decide if he's better than you.
Nor can I.
Any thoughts?
Nor can I. I can't help her out on that one.
Sure.
That's a really personal thing. She's got to dig deep. She's got to look at both of us. She's got to find out what she likes.
Yeah.
And then whether I provide more of that than Baker's.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Baker Foyle's brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna put myself up against him, so, I can't have you. Next, Steve, next.
Well, there was a lot of emails last week, which were saying how much they enjoyed the Christmas specials. Thank you very much for that, that's very flattering of you. There was also a couple, there was one, it was a guy, I'm sorry that I think I might have deleted it, but, oh, I should have sent a reply, because there was a guy from Canada saying, if there any chance you're around in March, whether you could pop in and have a surprise birthday dinner for his wife.
Oh, God, why don't you keep that?
I can't,
you idiot.
So, okay. I really apologise for that.
Yeah.
There's also, this is interesting, this is more for Carl, really. It seems unlikely.
Is it from a doctor saying you're an idiot?
We've got plenty of those, I tend to delete them.
Okay, right, yeah. Look at his face!
No, it just says, you know, don't like to complain, but I won the film competition about 5 or 6 weeks ago, and I haven't received my prizes.
Oh dear, that's all Carl has to do on the show. We provide the chat, the records, the light entertainment. I mean,
grammar.
Strokes of comedy genius. All Carl has to do is send out the prizes and say, there was a monkey that was a bank robber at 5 to 3.
Yeah. What's your excuse, Carl?
Do you remember her winning? I've got all-
Well, you're calling her a liar.
Well, I am, because I don't remember ever seeing-
Right, he's calling her a liar.
So, Joanne Ogden, you're claiming, is just making this up. She sent this in on a whim, trying to fool us and get some cheap tat.
Wow.
I don't believe that. I don't believe anyone would lie to try and get Knowing Me, Knowing You on VHS. I really don't.
Well, I'll look in the records because we keep all the details, so, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, one of you's in the wrong, and do you know what? Knowing you, Carl, I don't think it's Joanne.
No.
Has anyone else ever emailed in saying they haven't got the,
like
a trap? No, Lenders. They haven't.
One mistake's one too far, because that's one person, so, you know, you might send out 30, but that one person, that's the first time they've won a competition, they want the history of Wind, narrated by Donald McIntyre, on VHS,
yes.
And, you know.
Stephen King's It, on Betamax.
Yeah. No, someone that sometimes they want the best of Primal Scream on a cassette.
Exactly.
So, you know.
You've got to make sure you're sending these points.
Yeah.
Final email from Andy. He says, the webcam, is pointing at the ceiling. Is it because the air conditioning vent is more exciting than what happens on the show?
Let's put that down now.
That's absolutely right.
Hold on, one minute. Now. Just, if someone, is that good?
People love the webcam. I don't know what they're interested in, because all they get is a picture of Carl's big head.
It's not a big, it's just round.
Oh.
Got it right.
Yeah.
Carl, I'd like you to play the next tune. I got sent a little cheeky, primer for The Cure's Join the Dots. It's B-sides and rarities, lots of stuff from them, from all over the ages. And it's amazing how good their B-sides are. Here's one of them, play it. And that's called A Man Inside My Mouth, which was the B-side to Close To Me. There's nothing amusing about that, Rick. I don't know why you're laughing.
Wow.
It's called A Man Inside My Mouth.
Yeah, I know.
And that's fine.
Yeah, it's like, you know, this, like, you know, the little man inside your head.
Yeah. You know, if a man wants to be inside anyone's mouth, that's good, you know, good option. Yeah.
But, there's
nothing wrong with that.
But I agree.
Yeah.
Carl, do you agree with that?
What man in your head? What does that mean?
Brilliant.
Yeah. Extraordinary. Look
at
this face.
Doesn't even understand schoolboy carry-on innuendo.
Amazing.
I know the fact that the play on words is too far. What does it mean on site? The erection. What? What do you mean dumplings? Huh?
You're a fan of The Simpsons. You know that character in The Simpsons, the gap-toothed yokel?
Yeah.
If I look at Carl when
Cletus.
He's the plec.
Cletus.
It's the kind of cliche comic book thing of having a mouth wide open to suggest formlessness. It's amazing.
Or an accommodating come on.
Yes. Absolutely.
Carl. Oh. That little man inside your head, it's what, you know, if that people use it as your conscience, don't they?
Alright.
Have you ever heard that before?
No.
No? No. Okay.
I was, Rick, I was watching Moonraker. It was on, I think it was last week.
Yeah.
I don't know how familiar you are with the James Bond films.
I don't think I've ever watched a Bond film from beginning to end.
Yeah.
I've never watched one on DVD, and I've never gone to cinema to watch one, and I'm not usually in on Easter Saturday.
Exactly.
Honestly.
The thing about James Bond, when I was younger, I thought he was amazing. I just thought he was the ultimate cool, sophisticated hero. Do you know what I mean? My dream as a kid, like when I say kid, I mean a teenager, was to come home, which invariably he did. He'd come back to his hotel suite, he'd open the door, there'd be a trail of clothes. And he'd follow and he'd go into the bedroom and there'd be a beautiful woman in the bed, you know.
You'd have said, clean up, man. What are you doing? You're messy. I'm gonna forget my mum didn't clean all this up now.
Mom,
she's got a bad
back. There's a needy lady in my bed.
But, and as I say, I used to think he was really cool and sophisticated, and it's only of late that I've sort of watched, he's revisited these films, and it's, I'll tell you what, it's his jokes.
Oh!
He is the most infuriating man ever.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know why people in the films consider him so, I mean, I think the reason that women in the films are always being seduced by him is because, if you notice, they normally got English as a second language.
Right.
So they don't understand, so when he's making those jokes.
So they don't know when he goes, just keeping the British end up.
Yeah, I'm just attempting re-entry.
Yeah.
If that was a British woman, she'd be going, what?
Don't say that. That sounds awful and it's a terrible pun,
Roger.
It's
so rude. What am I?
Yeah, what am I? Yeah. And they just laugh politely.
They just laugh coquettishly and then, you know, unzip their dress normally. Yeah. But some of the guys, there was one where he's being chased by a guy in a moped or something, and the guy plummets off a cliff and smashes through a van which is full of feathers, and he plummets to his death, and Bond just says, all those feathers, and he still couldn't fly. What are you talking about? What do you mean it's not a joke? It's just words. There's one where in Moonraker, he punches this guy, he's having a fight, he punches him through a plate glass window, and he lands on a piano, and Bond goes, play it again, Sam. I remember there's the one in one of the early films where he throws a guy in the bath and electrocutes him by throwing in a thing. And then he goes, absolutely shocking. But I'm just thinking, you just killed a man.
I know.
You're a psychopath.
Yeah.
It's just so excruciating. If someone was doing those kind of jokes in the office, you would hate them. Do you know what I mean? You wouldn't want to talk to them. They'd be a bore.
I know, yeah. Everything's a little one-liner. I know. And everything's a pun.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, there is a bloody good secret agency. So, you know, they're not hired for their, wit and, stand-up ability.
Exactly.
So, you know, it swings and roundabouts.
Yeah.
I doubt Johnny Vegas could, save the world.
That's true enough, yeah.
So, think on different people, different needs. Kings of Leon. California Waiting on XFM 104.9. Do you know what, Steve? We get emails and, you know, we got our posters up around this show and, people enjoy it. But I don't think we get the credit we deserve for picking the music.
It's true.
Because we're totally unplaylisted and I don't know if people know about this, that mine and Steve's sort of first passion before comedy is probably music. We're really, really, we love playing each other sort of records and that. And maybe when we come back, we should do a show where there is no pressure. Carl doesn't press the buttons forward, pre-record it, where we swap each other's sort of ideas for music.
It'd be like, the Ricky Gervais compilation tape.
Well, sort of like, we're not talking John Peel, where we try and find obscure Belgian jungle and do demos. You know, everything from, you know, Kings of Leon, Lou Reed, you know, maybe a bit of 80s stuff that people have forgotten about.
Beautiful songs.
So what do you think?
I'd love to do that, Rick. I mean, genuinely, there's nothing more exciting to me than introducing to someone a song which they then go on and they love and they listen, maybe they buy the album,
But that's something to think about, maybe, for later.
Yeah. Well, it's like you say, the pressure to kind of come up with some, you know, high-caliber chat between each record, it takes the toll.
But, it's a passion of ours and we'd love to, but now, it's Rockbusters.
Can I just say something now, before we do Rockbusters? A lot of people sort of, they come up to me, they say, Steve, we like the show, when are you going to get rid of Rockbusters? It brings it down. I'm not joking, there is lots of people.
Come off it.
I know people who say, you're never going to stop that, are you? So, one of us is lying again.
Well, not really. I'm talking about people who've listened to the show. You're talking about Suzanne, your girlfriend.
Oh, Martin. He'll be at home now with a pad, getting ready to play.
But I should just.
Max Freeman did encourage Carl on a couple of occasions. He even tried to get him through with the answer egg when we were doing that naming animal round.
Yes.
So,
but I should just say that people think that somehow Ricky and I are endorsing Rockbusters, that somehow by allowing it on the show, somehow we think it's good and we appreciate it. And I need to point out that it's more like when a child comes back from school and they've done a painting.
Yeah.
It's crap.
Yeah.
But of course you've got to stick it on the fridge.
The cat is bigger than the house.
You've got to stick it on the fridge because otherwise the kids are going to get upset.
In this next episode, you've got to remember the cat is bigger than the house.
Exactly.
Okay.
It doesn't look like anything.
The humans don't have bodies, their legs come straight from their head.
Yeah. Mummy and daddy.
Please welcome to the stage, Carl Pilkington's Rockbusters.
Alright. Right, so, cryptic clues, no, initials, cryptic. And you work it out, and you email in and that.
Yeah.
First one.
Yeah.
Don't be stealing my tools, take your sister's. Alright, and the initials NK.
Don't be stealing my tools, take my sister's.
Yeah, so that's like the cryptic clue, and the initials of the artist or band is NK, right? Second one. Buy it if you want, not bothered, think about it. Come back, right? Come back if you want.
Start again, Carl, I'm not last halfway through! Right, start that second one again!
Right, well, you can back-
it's different! Well, the first one was, buy it if you want, now this one was, yeah, well, write it down, buy it. Right, do it. Do it. If it's a cryptic clue, all the letters count. Do it.
Buy it if you want, I'm not that bothered. You know, think about it, come back, check some other places out first before you, you know.
In the times! So we've got no time for other clues.
Right. So that's SC.
Right, do that clue again.
Buy it if you want. I'm not fussed, do you know what I mean? Think about
fussed.
It.
Fussed has made an appearance! Fussed wasn't there before! Do the clue again. Do the clue again!
Initials SC for that one.
Do the clue again.
I don't want to do it again.
Do you haven't finished it yet?
I have, that's it.
No, do the clue again.
do
the clue again.
Buy it if you want, I'm not fussed, right? Shop around. Come back. It's up to you. I'm not pushing you into anything.
It's right? Up to you, wasn't it?
S-S-C. S-C for that one, right? And the final one, that's good, I can play 10-pin bowling again.
Okay, and what's the clue?
That's O for that one.
O.
Alright, so,
okay, now I assume, I'm not gonna bother to look, but I assume there's a jiffy bag of tax which people can win. Alright, well great, good luck. Ricky.Gervais@xfm.co.uk is the email address.
Thorns.
No, buy it if you want, I'm not fussing, come back, have a look around. I'm open Wednesdays, by the way, shut up, Thorns.
The Thorns and No Blue Sky, off their album, of last year, which is probably my favourite album of the year. I've started getting into that sort of, like, music, more serious thing, in case we do it.
I mean, I don't know, from that comment, maybe we should do some preparation.
Pre-record it?
Yeah.
So we can sort of, like, cut all the ums and ahs and,
like that
and me sort of, like, eating a sandwich while it's on, singing along, tapping a little bit,
yeah.
I won't lay down like this either. We'll get me a chair that I can sort of be upright so I can enunciate.
You weren't in there, were you, when Carl was singing along to Oliver's Army?
No.
It was a joy. Checkpoint Charlie. Oliver's Army. No idea.
Oh, bless him. No, Rockbusters, well on the way. Any right answers yet, Carl?
Let's just check. Let me see, we got one email.
One email?
No.
No, because they probably don't make sense.
Yeah, no responses whatsoever.
There's some on the text, isn't that?
Really?
83XFM, if you want to do it on the old,
speak up, Carl. We're on the radio, we're live.
Just letting you know, do it on the text if you want. Send it in on the text.
And what? Well, what is it? Say it!
83XFM.
Right.
Right.
What's the email address again?
Ricky.Gervais@xfm.co.uk.
Are you tired today, Carl? Are you just bored, or?
No, I'm alright, I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Steve.
Yeah, well, no, I just wanted to mention to you, I went to, a pub near my house recently. I found out that there was a pool hall.
Join,
like, a pool club there. And I love pool, I like to think of myself as looking a little bit like Paul Newman in The Hustler.
Yeah.
When I'm shooting pool.
Yeah.
And, I went down there, and I went with my flatmate, and, it's quite a seedy pub, in many respects. There's a lot of weird people in there, like, alcoholics, and—
Why did they go there?
It's strange, isn't it?
Weird, isn't it? Yeah. Go on.
And, very, very odd people. And, so he's a little bit nervous, and he says, I'm a bit worried, because there's a lot of kind of, you know, there's people from the estate, the nearby council estate, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
For want of a better word, scum. You know. And, so he's a bit edgy. And, bizarrely, because I so wanted to play pool, I said to him, he went, I'm a bit scared about going in. I went, don't worry, you're with me.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was thinking, I don't know what that means. They're gonna think, oh, wait a minute, the 6-foot guy with the lanky guy with the glasses, I'm not gonna mess with him.
There you go, they take your glasses off and you go, I've lost.
Exactly.
That's it, I'm out of here.
This is why I've never got into a fight, because if my glasses are gone, I'm screwed. That's the first
thing. You really are short-sighted, aren't you?
I'd be absolutely done for.
And are you nervous without, are you sort of like nervous without them?
You know, whenever you,
You know, whenever you see like a kind of action film or whatever, or maybe like a horror film,
the nerd loses glasses
and he's scrabbling around on the floor.
Is that you? Is it
coming behind him? That's me.
Really?
Yeah, done for. Absolutely done for.
What did you do when you were at school and you had to play tennis or football or rugby or something?
Kept them on.
That's dangerous.
Well,
isn't
of course it?
It
is. That's why I was never, you know, as good at rugby as I probably could have been. You know, because of course you can. How can you play rugby with glasses on? I'm in the scrum going, careful! Your boots! Hello! Yeah.
Never mind me nads.
Exactly.
Watch my glasses!
But, so I went in, because I used to do judo when I was very young.
Well, that's the impossible.
But this is ludicrous.
That must get falling off.
Oh, of course.
What about gaffer tape? Just sort of like round. Yeah.
Well, I bought something like a kind of a sports strap to keep them on, and it just pushed them right into my eyes. I could barely see. I was all blinded. But I swear, when I used to go to judo, I'm sure that the other kids were being taught, right, just knock Steve's glasses off. Knock his glasses off, you can get him.
And so I'm
always a bit edgy about fights, but for some reason I felt super confident going in there. I was like, I swaggered in, and, into the pool hall, and it's one of those places you've got to sort of knock, it's like a speakeasy, you've got to knock,
yeah.
And they open the door and you come in.
Yeah.
And, I'm in there, and, my
one of those things you slide, like a little letterbox, you
exactly.
Slide over, you knock, knock, you put your face out, you just knocked your glasses off.
And, so I went in there, and, in a way, my flatmate was justified in being a little bit edgy because, the conversation we could overhear, the table next to us, we were playing pool, the guy next to us was going, yeah, of course, the bloody police. Spent Boxing Day in the nick. Absolute nightmare.
You're getting nervous.
So I was getting a little bit edgy because I didn't know, but then I thought, you know, if they don't mess with their own, we're almost like gangsters ourselves because we're there in the lion's den, do you know what I mean? We'll probably be fine. So then, there's just an old guy serving at the bar, you know, in his 50s, and some guys go over to the jukebox, some young kids, they're just hanging out in the pool hall, they're pretty cool, they put some money in the jukebox, and in first track, Coldplay, fine, I'm thinking that's nice, I'm playing pool, second track, hardcore German techno, and they put in about 50 quid's worth, it seemed, because it just went on, really thumping, kind of like gabba stuff, old guy at the bar, just nodding his head, cleaning the glass,
yeah.
So into this,
piano player, furious,
exactly, into this, comes like what appear to be a family of holidaymakers with kids. So they've entered this like CD pool hall, we've got, you know, the Kray twins playing pool next to me. They come in, the German techno's blaring, they come in, and there's like kids, you know, and they've got the baby in one of those little pouches and they
kind
of, blah, blah, blah. They sit down and the weirdest thing was one of the guys, the uncle, let's say, of the family, he picked up the kid and he was about to put the baby down in a chair, and I thought, hang on, that's quite a hard backed chair. And as he did it, the baby's head just went and hit the back of the chair, and I just flipped back and hit the back of the chair because he just lumped it down.
Oh,
in the
God!
Head. And it started screaming, it crying, you know, and the teenagers were rocking to that, they loved it, and he came over and it was transparent what happened, and the mum was going, what's happened? The baby's crying. And he went, I don't know what happened. And I wanted to lean over and go, you lying swine!
You
know what happened? You just hear yourself. I wanted to go, just take her aside and say, never let him handle your baby again.
No, the head was wobbling around.
Was wobbling,
he just every, I could see it coming.
I don't know, and who knows, he might turn out like Carl now.
That's a point.
But what do you do in those situations? You know, do you...
Well, I'm assuming, by the way, you're taking it lightly, the baby wasn't hurt in any way, just made his... Well then...
But it was still a bit wrecked.
You keep out of it, don't you? What are you gonna do? Call the authorities and go, it was him?
Yeah. But, I don't know, I mean, I don't want to name the place in case I get knifed.
But, I imagine you trying to swagger it when you overheard him talking to the Nick. I imagine you know me, yeah, pigs. Sorry? Yeah, I ate the pigs as well. No, I'm a lawyer. I was down there. Oh yeah. Sure. Oh dear.
But, I'll be going back there. So I feel like I'm
that's it. I mean, I've told you before, Steve, stay away from working class people and bad men in trainers. Cause, you know, you hang around with nerdy wells and you're gonna get your glasses knocked off.
That's true.
Jet. Rollover DJ on XFM 104.9. Carl, you promised me that you were gonna reintroduce Educating Ricky.
Yeah, we can do that.
Have you got it? Have you got something that will, that's something that I won't know that's correct and that will interest me?
Yeah, there's loads of stuff.
Is it anything to do with monkeys?
No, we've got Monkey News.
We've got Monkey News coming out, of course. We've got Monkey News people, and they're now over to XFM for Monkey News with Carl Pilkington.
No, we won't do that yet. We're not doing that yet. Educating Ricky is.
Yeah.
Well, let's do it. We did it ages ago.
Educating Ricky. Oh, that's interesting, and it's correct.
Hang on a minute, though. What I do is I tease you, don't I, with headlines.
Oh, go on then.
And then you have to sort of go, that one sounds good.
Go on then. What are the headlines?
I want to know more about that. Educate me.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. You've got well.
Oh, jeez. Oh.
That Nelly died.
That Nelly died. All right,
okay. Okay. Right. Could be about an elephant. Yeah. Go on.
You've got that. You've got,
I've got well. Take well for as red. So they all start with well. Okay.
Knob body has been that lucky before.
Brilliant. All right.
Okay.
Oh, you've got get a lobe of this court case.
Right, okay. I'm going for knob body has been that lucky before.
Right, it's a story about this kid who was born, right?
Was he?
Yeah, he's popped out, like, and the dad and the mum saw the baby and it was like, oh, that's a good looking little kid.
Sure.
And they were proud and that. And then,
they're surprised that it's a good looking little kid, it's theirs.
Yeah.
Like, it could have been a frog and they'd have gone, oh, he's got your eyes.
And then, the doctor goes, yeah, it is, but, look at that.
What?
He said, it's a boy, and, hasn't got a knob.
I love the doctor saying that. I love this GP.
Right.
Oh, this midwife saying that. Oh, no, little boy, yeah, yeah, but no knob, baby. Mr. and Mrs., I mean, think.
Right. No, but I'm speeding it up a bit.
All right, come on. So the baby's
so the baby's like that, and the woman's like, oh, it's our first as well, and stuff, right? She's really gutted.
What's the second going to be like?
So,
your head. So,
just a knob.
Doctor says, yeah.
Look like Carl.
So the doctor says, well, I'll leave it with you for a bit, get used to the idea, right?
As opposed to throwing it away.
So he wanders off.
Yeah.
He comes back with a smile on his face. Right?
Found the knob.
So the mum and dad are like, what are you smiling about? He says, you're not going to believe this. Baby's just been born. It's got two. Right? You can have one of them. And they did a little, little operation.
Where did you get this information from?
That's in a book.
What book?
Is it the same as the book that you carry round with you?
No.
With the woman with three legs, the juggler with nine arms, and the bloke who found shagging a chicken under a rock. Is it in that book?
Well, weird though, isn't it?
Well, it's not true.
It is true.
What, in the same hospital, there was a baby born without a knob. Luckily, it's Carl.
It happened.
You swear to God you're not making
the doctor came back smiling, because you won't believe it. There's a baby there with an excess of a knob.
It happened, honestly. I'm not, all these things are not made up, the educating stuff. That's why I do it, isn't it? Teaching you stuff, always teaching you stuff.
Alright, if anyone can confirm the baby with no knob,
they're gonna confirm it, because they're gonna go to the same dubious website that Carl got it from.
I always try to be level-headed and reasonable in these situations.
And it's always Guatemala or Mexico. Rodriguez there was born without a knob. Luckily, baby next door was one of two knobs. What a load of shite. Play record.
There's still more to come.
Oh.
I'm looking forward to
Was it Nelly? Nelly dead.
Nelly died.
Nelly died.
Bones, Radiohead off the Bends album.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, might be my favourite album of all time.
You said it before, yeah. I can't say I've ever really got into it. I remember when it came out, it was just so ubiquitous everywhere, I never really bothered listening
to it. I can still listen to it every day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that might be sad, I don't know. It's a fantastic album.
Yeah.
On XFM 104.9, just practising for when we,
talk about music.
Talk more about music than maybe monkeys and people born without knobs, baby. Carl, any other thoughts?
Well, I'm not gonna tell you any more educating stuff yet.
You're gonna tease me with that, are you?
Leave you with, it Nelly died.
Yeah.
And get a load of this court case, right? But I want you thinking about.
Yeah, thinking about it. Yeah, just getting my juices ready.
About that.
Yeah, like an aperitif. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But, I've just educated you.
Yeah.
Right? And I watched the Office Christmas stuff on last Sunday.
Did you enjoy it?
I think it was good.
Good.
I think it was good.
Thank
you
very much.
It was one of my favourites. The second one's good.
Yeah, okay, your second one, there's more the payback's in the second one, the first one's more set up.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd have thought people would like the second one more.
Yeah.
So that's nice. That's a nice critique. Thank you, Carl.
But there was something in it you did about cavemen.
Cavemen?
You said something about, it was a fact about cavemen and you sort of only half did it. You didn't give the full information, like,
what?
Like I doing that. You just-
Where was it? What bit was it?
It was the bit when you were talking about getting a woman, I think, or you were talking about breasts or-
Oh, the one when I said people are- the reason women have cleavage is it reminds men of buttocks, because when we were cavemen we used to do you from behind.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the blind date, yeah.
Is that a joke or?
Well, I was hoping it was funny. We were. Oh, you mean? No, I don't know. Yeah, I think I did. I think cleavage is meant to represent in a sort of Desmond Morris pop sort of anthropology type way. I think I've seen that before, that cleavage represents buttocks, and I imagine, you know, cavemen probably did do it from behind. I don't know what you want to know, Carl, really. It's in a sitcom, it wasn't a documentary.
It looked like one.
Yeah. Brilliantly directed to look like one, I'll give you that.
No, but what you're saying, so blokes like...
Yeah, I think cleavage is represented like buttocks, because obviously buttocks were much more of a sexual organ. Evolutionary speaking, breasts were to actually bring up to suckle young, but and were a sign of sexual maturity, so you're ready to mate. But whereas, Carl, I'm not an anthropologist, mate. I'm struggling here. What do you need to know?
But
yeah, I imagine that the cleavage reminds you of an arse.
Right. Well, if it's all about arse, why don't gays like a little bit of tip? No, do you know what I mean?
You've done me! So the question put to us today on XFM 104.9, please call me that, Donna, is if it's all about arse, then why don't gays like a little bit of tit?
I was worried
if it's all about arse, why don't gays like tit? If it's all about arse, why don't gays like tit? Just call in with your- Thanks very much for tuning in, this is been Children's TV. If it's all about arse, why don't gays like tit?
It's still been an hour and a quarter before we got round to gays, so it's good to see they've made an appearance.
If it's all about arse, why don't gays like a bit of tit? Is the question. What a brilliant question. Well, if you're an anthropologist or a psychologist, a doctor, a gay, please call in if it's all about arse. This is the question.
I'm not convinced by this whole, cleavage looks like an arse, that's
no, not to Steve,
I
nor
think,
am I.
It's a bit of mock
anthropology. I didn't think it would be under scrutiny.
I think it's more likely that the reason men find cleavage attractive is because they know there's a lovely pair of Bristols down there.
Yes, they look like, here we are. If that's what's on show.
Exactly, imagine what's down below.
If that's in the front window, right, yeah, what's he got in the back of the shop? Oh, dear! Oh. Coral, Bill McKay on XFM 104.9. If it's all about arses, Steve, why don't gays like a bit of tit?
I think there might be a lecture on that at the Royal Institute tonight. I'm not sure.
Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, I think he's given a
lecture. Brilliant.
Tell you something else, though. That's about cavemen and that.
Yeah.
Right?
Not really. Go on.
Do you know,
I love the idea of a little gay fella. He's pulled a bird, he's just, all he's done is focused on the cleavage and he's gone, that's a lovely arse. Right. He's got a bat, right, pulls the dress down, no! Where's the arse? I've been gone, there's boobs! Boobs, I hate them! They're my worst! No! Right, sorry, Carl.
Cavemen and that.
Yeah. Back to it. Doesn't drop a beat, does he?
Do you know, like, when you get a bit scared, and the hairs on your back and that sort of go up?
Well, I haven't got a particularly hairy back, but go on.
No, but on your neck or
whatever. Oh, yeah.
On your head.
Do you know-
Not in your place, but-
Do you know where that comes from? Do you know why that happens?
Why it happens?
Yeah.
To look more fierce.
Yeah.
Probably residue of, like, the erectile tissue with the, you know, would make you look apes, and that would make you look slightly bigger, your outline bigger.
Hmm.
Is that it? Is that the answer?
Yeah, just cavemen in front of dinosaurs and that. They sort of went, oh. And then,
well, it wasn't cavemen in front of dinosaurs, was it? Because cavemen weren't alive when dinosaurs were alive.
There was a couple knocking about.
Right, okay, fair enough.
There was a crossover point, surely.
Not by just like 15
million. Was the the Ice Age. There were still still big reptiles.
I think it's fairly common knowledge that the dinosaurs did not exist.
Well, who gave the dinosaurs the name?
Well, no.
Who gave the dinosaurs the name?
He's using cavemen as any genus of Homo. I know he's thinking of the Flintstones,
yes.
But I'm giving him an instep into evolution here. But
I should just point out, you know, cavemen didn't have cars which they motored by running along the street,
and they didn't mix cement in pelicans.
You're aware of that.
Go on, Carl.
Should we have the Rockbusters answers? Yeah, you've got to get that out of the way.
I'd love to. Number one was, don't be stealing my tools. Take your sister's. The initials were NK. That was Nick Ursul, right?
Nick Ursul.
Nick Ursul. 80s.
I don't know. I've never heard of that band.
Nick Kershaw.
Don't move on. Nick Ursul. What's Nick Ursul?
Jesus. All right.
It doesn't count.
Let's just leave it behind us. All right.
Second one was buy it if you want. You know, I'm not bothered. You can think about it. Come back. Have a look around. Think it over. I'm not fussed. The initials were SC. That was soft sell, right?
That works.
Yeah.
Well done.
That works.
Right. And that's good. I can play 10-pin bowling again. That's O. That's outcast. Right?
What
does that mean? Outcast?
You're out, you broke your arm. Right? Got the cast.
That's ridiculous.
That's ludicrous.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
You broke your arm, you were in a cast, you got rid of the cast, you're outcast.
Did anyone get that?
Yeah.
I mean, I am stunned.
I think, to be fair, that was because how many bands begin with O?
Yeah.
I think that's why people got it.
Exactly. But there were guesses, yeah. I could probably make Oasis work if I tried hard enough.
Who's done that?
Pardon me.
Outcast.
That's ridiculous.
Why is it ridiculous?
But
that's
it's ridiculous.
Worse than that.
Well,
that's worse than that.
The leap to bowling.
We got worse than that!
I remember when I did my wrist in, then it fixed, and I went temping bowling.
It's
what you did. Brilliant. So next week's quiz is what am I thinking? You're an idiot, Carl. Play a record.
Why did you do your wristing?
Crash.
A crash. You had a crash?
Yeah.
That sounds like a story we've not explored.
Not much to it. I just went on a free, sort of rally day. got in this car. I'd been working all night, right, so I wasn't the best condition to be whizzing around a track in a car.
Sure.
Like a Formula One type car.
Yeah.
Spun out of control, hit some mud, smashed it all in, wrote it off, and I didn't realise I'd done a load of damage until.
Well, you landed on your head, but you were fine.
Yeah.
Who's the winner?
Mike Godlin. <from Michigan. laughs>
I'm in love with the girl that I'm talking
of. Bad Time from the Jayhawks on XFM 104.9, Steve Roach and Ricky Gervais, Carl.
We're having a good time.
We are indeed.
Alright. Yeah. Carl, what you got lined up for us now?
Right, well, you've got a choice.
Nelly Dead?
You can have a bit of educating.
Yeah, let's have educating. Come on.
Educating, Ricky. Can we just clarify what this is? I think a lot of new listeners perhaps aren't familiar with this.
It's when Carl looks on the internet and finds a weird story about, the double knob, fun, and tells me about it, and it's usually not true.
Okay.
If it is true, I know it already. Go on then, Carl.
They're not really weird stuff, it's just stuff that's gone on. That's interested me, that's all it's about, and I educate about it.
I should just confirm that we've had a number of emails that say the baby born without a knob and then having one transplanted from a baby that luckily enough had two knobs is apparently true.
I don't question that you could be born with a deformity and get someone's, you know, fingers, knobs, don't know. What I'm saying is, it didn't happen with the doctor goes, I'll leave with it. I don't believe it. That baby's got two knobs.
Exactly.
What a coincidence. I bet that little bit of information isn't in there, is it?
Sure.
That he went out the door, I'm gonna get a coffee, came back, bloody hell, hold on, look, here's an extra knob, I found an extra knob. we can put that knob on there, perfect.
Right, well, you've opted for the headline, It Nearly Died. Right?
Yeah.
It's about this elephant.
Yeah.
80 years old.
Yeah.
In Africa. Yeah. Right? It's had quite a good life and that. But then what happens is, I don't know what it's been eating, but, his teeth fall out.
Yeah, that's what most elephants die of that, because they grind them down, the teeth, until they can't chew anymore, and they, most yeah. elephants of old, dying of old age with an elephant is the fact that you haven't got teeth anymore.
Hmm. Well, it's had a good innings, it was 80.
Yeah.
Right? So anyway,
They used to plop the food up and feed it to it, and it lived quite happily?
No, what they did was, the village got together, said, oh,
chewed the food for
that's
it.
Sad, isn't it? Made it some
false teeth.
Made it some teeth. Out of wood. Wooden teeth for this elephant, that's 80. What do you think of that?
I don't know. I don't know if it's true, I don't know, I mean.
No, it is, forget that, you've been proved wrong once, it is true. What do you think about that?
Carl, it's like saying, yeah, me auntie Nora saw a ghost, what do you think about that? There's no comment, I can't comment on it.
Would you have gone to the trouble, is what I'm saying?
To build an elephant some
teeth? It's 80, it's 80.
Yeah.
With all the problems Africa's got and that, and they're messing about making teeth for an elephant.
What problems have Africa got?
Well, there's not enough food to go around, so if an elephant's dead, that's a bit more food left. Do you know what I mean? Why?
Yeah, but you're assuming this is in the middle of a village where there was famine and starvation. It might have been South Africa, Kenya, no. You don't know, it's not all Ethiopia.
If it was a busy city, people in the village wouldn't have time to be messing about with making teeth and that, would they? It was a little village. Little village.
Yeah.
And a local elephant.
The local elephant? Like a local post office. I'll meet you by the elephant.
No, to be fair, Rick, I think I saw Bob Geldof on TV saying, please, people, stop making elephant's teeth. They are eating all the food, we're sending it over there.
F the number, where's the teeth? I don't know, it's possible.
It's possible
that they've made this elephant some dentures. It is possible.
Wouldn't it have been easier to just
pulp it?
Exactly. Serve it some soup or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, if you're making its teeth, you know, it's a village. I wouldn't have thought it would work for very long, and I wouldn't have thought the elephant would understand that it was teeth, so I wouldn't have been able to thought that the villagers could do it. I mean, top veterinary surgeons could have done some, but I think they made it all goodwill, but I don't want to thought it worked, so they probably end up dying or pulping it like I suggested. But, you know, thanks very much, play a record.
No, but didn't you say something about wooden teeth? Someone, you know, had wooden teeth.
I don't know, I think that was possibly my grandparents.
They had wooden teeth?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it was wooden, I think the palate was wood, and then the teeth were as you would normally.
Yeah, it's like from the 16th century though, isn't
it? Well, it was the
1940s. They used to hammer them in without anaesthetic.
Really?
Yeah. Just put into the roots, it wouldn't, oh, God.
That's a rubbish time, isn't it, to live.
And other people's teeth, obviously dead people's teeth, you could replace it, just bang it in for a while.
Oh.
Oh, God, unbelievable. Oh, dear. Play a record, Carl.
If you've had your teeth, if you've had teeth hammered into your gums.
Placebo, English Summer Rain on XFM 104.9. Right, okay, you got the final Educating Ricky, Carl?
Get a load of this court case.
Yeah.
What happened was, right,
allegedly.
Fella's in court for something that he shouldn't have done, right?
Yeah. You got all the detail then at your fingertips.
And the jury says, he's guilty, right? And the judge went, what, he's not guilty, off you go then, right? He misheard it. They couldn't do anything about it, because once the judge has sort of said, you're not guilty, off you go, you can go home. And the jury were like, what are you doing? They said he's guilty. I was like,
what do you think of the Thorns album?
I'm quite a big fan, Rick. Yeah, I like that sort of alt country sound. I think
I know. And that compilation you made me, that was
that sort of thing.
Really good. The Jayhawks, thanks for that, by the way.
There was the hanging one, wasn't there? There was the hanging one that happened.
Are you still there?
Have you, what bands have you been checking out recently? Any new things?
Just exploring all kinds of stuff. Obviously, you know, I like dipping back into the old stuff. I'll tell you, I've been appreciating a lot recently, Rick. Billy Bragg.
Oh, brilliant, yeah.
Great guy, great guy.
Isn't he playing?
He's playing in March, yeah. You might want to try and
see about the Angin one when,
what's
the,
this
when the fella was-
Sorry, mate, go on.
When the fella was Ong.
Well, Ong.
He was Ong, and,
Ong! Sorry, what's Ong?
He was Ong by a rope.
So, isn't that- No, no, I think it was- Wasn't he, a Chinese emperor? And the Ming, wasn't he Ong?
Yeah.
Sorry, he was Ong.
Some fella who'd done something, the Ong him.
Ong. It's not a word anymore, he was Ong.
Well, don't be doing that again, because you said squoze wasn't a word, and then I shown you a menu today that someone sent, and it said fresh orange.
Yeah.
Squoze.
Inadvertent commas, and next to it was the word colour, spout C-O-L-O-R. So, presumably either American menu, right, in which case, there's loads of American words that we don't use, or it's just a badly typed piece of work.
Anyway, there was a bloke that was Ong.
He was Ong and that, but he didn't die.
Ong on that, he was definitely a Chinese, yeah. Ong on that, yeah. I remember him now, yeah.
He didn't die, and they said, oh, just hang on a minute whilst we change the rope and that, and he stood there waiting, changed the rope. They, tried to, you know, do it again, and, didn't work.
It didn't work, right.
So,
yeah.
They got another rope, right? Didn't work. And then they had to let him go, because it's like a- there's a well-known saying or something from this thing.
Yeah. What? Have you seen, do you like, Oh My Car Is On by, Tim Burton's new single?
I don't know that I'm
it's brilliant. Can we play a bit later?
No.
Yeah, can we play let's play a record now and, we'll, talk more a bit later.
Yeah.
Hey, can you, Carl, would you shut up?
Oh My Car Is On. Tim Burgess. Brilliant. XFM 104.9. Right. Well, we're running out of time here.
Yeah.
We had Carl in a little film, but I think we've really got time for Monkey News, you know?
Yeah.
What are you thinking, Carl?
Yeah, if you want to do that.
Yeah, let's do Monkey News.
Alright.
Play the jingle.
Oh, chimpanzee that, Monkey News!
Right, there's this monkey, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think his name was number 6 or number 7 or something, right? In this lab, right?
Yeah.
And, anyway, it's in there. Where there's like, you know, the rabbits and little mice and stuff like that. And,
the rabbit smoking.
The nurse, right? The nurse, not the nurse, the woman who works in the lab, what would you call her? The nurse?
Depends, what turns out her job was. If she was a lab assistant, you call her a lab assistant.
Right.
I mean, they probably call her by her name.
Alright, lab assistant, right?
Kirsty.
So she's-
I think it's probably Kirsty.
Right,
Kirsty Morris.
Well, she's in there, right?
Yeah.
And she doesn't work with many people and that, she's mainly on her own with, you know, just putting lipstick on rabbits and stuff like that, right?
Chimpanzee?
So,
Chimpanzee? He's putting on lipstick, chimpanzee, so she's got hairy legs?
He gets Pally. Right,
yeah.
with this woman.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it gets to a point when she sees him every day.
It's the way he tries to string out like it's a narrative love story. The chimp put its hand out and grabbed her, and then you're thinking that he made a move on her.
So,
right, come on,
he's allowed out.
No, it's not a story, is it?
He's allowed out the cage and what have you.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, he's wandering about, and as time goes on, he's watching what she's doing more and more,
yeah.
Right? So, he notices, like, the code on the door, right?
Right.
She, whatever, 247 or whatever.
Yeah.
He goes, right, I've clocked that, I've got that, I'll remember that, right?
Mm.
And then he goes, right, there's
definitely
a lot of lipstick
not.
And that knocking about, a lot of makeup.
Right, okay.
No,
there's no way!
Finish.
No! Because, Steve, you know what's gonna happen. I know what's gonna happen.
So he's there.
It's ridiculous.
And he's going, well, if it's there, you know what I mean? So while she's messing about with the rabbit, he gets there, he's in front of the mirror, putting a little bit of lippy on. Right, right.
You are a man! No! I know! It's gone too far! No, it's gone too far, Steve.
Your mic's off, Rick. Are you finishing the story?
So,
turn mine off as well.
It's looking pretty good.
I didn't mention the mascara!
It's looking alright, right? So it knows the code on the door, 247, right? So, when she's sort of messing about with the rabbit, right, he goes, right, so it knows the code on the door, 247, right? So, when she's sort of messing about with the rabbit, right, he goes, right, here's my chance, he's looking good, 247, out the door, Petra Man's there, he's like, alright, Kirsty, right?
Don't talk shit!
I Feel Free from Queen, that's pretty much the last track, isn't it, guys, I imagine, on XFM
104.9? Well, I mean, yeah, I've got nothing to say after that ridiculous, ridiculous story. I mean, that's worse than the bank robbery to me.
Yeah.
That he clocks at, and the bloke on the desk. All right, Kirsty. Oh, you're 2 foot shorter and hairy.
She wasn't a looker anyway.
She wasn't a looker anyway! Brilliant. Oh, play record and say cheerio. We'll see you next week for the last time for a little.
Just got Anson.
Oh, Everett. Oh, I'd love to end with Everett.
See you later. It's brilliant. Going out on a bang.